I'll be leaving in like 3 weeks or so. So it's very nice for Ralph to let me come up and to share again. One quick announcement that I think was just left out of the bulletin. There's going to be a men's breakfast Saturday the 15th of December. Well, maybe it is in the bulletin, but there, I guess Anwar or Andrew or somebody will have more information about that next week, about where. It's going to be at 8 a.m. in the morning on that Saturday. I think Ralph's going to be sharing. So, but more information comes up. But if you want to pencil that in, men's breakfast, come hungry for, you know, food and for the word, I guess, because Ralph will be sharing a little bit. So just pencil that in if you're a guy. It'd be good to hang out with the brethren. Let us pray, and then we'll just get into it, okay? Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together as a family. And Lord, that we have your word, we have the scriptures so readily available to us. And so Lord, I pray as we go through your word this morning, you would use your word, you would use your spirit to speak to our hearts. God, I really pray that you would strip away anything that's of just me that's up here, my wisdom, the little bit that's there, any abilities that I have, Lord, take it away. And I pray that I'd be just completely dependent upon you this morning and you would be sharing. Lord, I pray that you would have a specific message for each individual that's here. You'd speak to them as the Heavenly Father that you are wanting to speak to your child. So, Lord, I pray that we would be in tune with your spirit and what you are saying. And, Lord, we would heed your words. And, Lord, my words, my notes, anything that's of Mike, Lord, I pray that falls on deaf ears. It's forgotten about. We don't really pay any attention to it. But, Lord, we do expect to meet your Holy Spirit here. Lord, you live inside of us. You are all around us. And, Lord, I pray for your blessing this morning, for your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time I shared a couple weeks ago, we were in 2 Corinthians, and we looked at chapter 1 about really relying on God's strength, seeking him for his strength, and not to rely on our own strength. And so this morning, I want to, you know, speak in a similar way, and I hope that you are all encouraged in a similar way. If you want to open your Bibles, we're going to be studying from 2 Timothy chapter 2. And so, again, for Martin's sake, I have titled this message, and the title is To Be Strong. So it does have maybe a similar, I'm kind of piggybacking off the last time I spoke, and so I hope that this may bring more encouragement and the Lord would speak to you and build you up this morning. So 2 Timothy, or I better remember where I'm at, 2 Timothy, as most people would say here, chapter 2. Well, maybe a quick preface. We live in a fallen world. I think it's very evident that we've experienced that already, that the world is not perfect out there. And while we're experiencing life, you know, Satan is definitely attacking us, and he is trying to influence us, and the enemy really wants us to walk in sin. And there is that pressure of sin daily that the devil wants to really hinder our walk and our relationship with the Lord. And we face that on a daily basis. But the Lord is offering his strength to us to do the exact opposite, to resist the devil, that he'll flee from us, and we can offer up our members as instruments of righteousness. So while the Lord really does want us to have a strong, dynamic life in righteousness, there's that battle. There's the enemy there. And so I really do want us to be encouraged to be strong this morning. And I hope we will choose to walk in it. I hope we will choose strength. And so verse 1 is probably the main verse I'll be looking at, but we'll go down through verse 6 by the end of the morning. Verse 1 says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore. So first, he says, "you therefore," which is a contrast. And so really, if you take a look at the previous chapter, verse 15, many people had been turning away from the Apostle Paul. You can read it there. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me. And then he names a few very particularly. So Paul is saying that there was a few, there was a lot, there was a many, like almost everybody in Asia who had heard Paul's teachings, who had accepted, you know, the things that he had said, and they had turned away from him. They had turned away from everything that Paul was teaching. And Paul is very fond of Timothy here, and he calls him, hey, Timothy, my son, I don't want you to kind of follow that same crowd. I don't want that for you. You know, Timothy's very close to his heart, and he says, I don't want you to follow the crowd. So therefore, you, Timothy, don't do that. He said, instead, I want you to be strong, you know, in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And so with that idea that Paul is talking about here in chapter 2, verse 1, of, hey, you know that a lot of people have turned away and they're walking in sin. I don't want that for you. I want you to be strong. I think it's a very common temptation for Christians today just to go ahead and just do what everybody else is doing. You know, we want to fit in. We want to be accepted. We want to be comfortable. Confrontation isn't the most fun thing to have. And that's just something we try to avoid in a sense. And so when the majority of people maybe are turning over to sin and walking and giving into the influence of the enemy, it's probably easier just to follow the crowd. And when Paul says, you're aware that all who are in Asia have done this, it's probably really easy for Timothy, being a young guy, just to give up and say, I'm just going to go with it to make everybody happy. But Paul didn't want that. Now, this is a room that has some Bible college students in it. It's a room that has just, you know, people from the community. There may be some people here on holiday, and you're just kind of visiting. But so that means most of you in this room don't live in a Bible college. Most of us aren't constantly in, like, a Christian bubble, because that's what the Bible college says. It gets you in a really cool environment. It puts you in a Christian bubble where it's very easy to follow the Lord in a sense, because you're just surrounded by brothers and sisters. You're surrounded by the Word of God, and, like, you're always getting scriptures pumped into your head. You always got, you know, a brother or sister that's, like, loving on you and encouraging you, and there's so much fellowship. It's just, like, that's the popular thing to do, is just follow the Lord with everything you have, you know? But most of us aren't in that. Most of us are forced to live out in what's called the real world, you know? And that might mean you're at work, might mean you're just at the grocery store, you're at the restaurant or whatever. But most of you spend a lot of time around non-Christians, and you're daily confronted by sin and temptation. And there's just a different pressure. There's a different weight that you have to walk through. And I understand that. And I think just that pressure to want to just fit in and just have it be easier and act as the world acts kind of hits us. But I want to encourage you guys that that can't be so. Paul would be very strong opinion saying, no, we have to be strong, take a stand, and be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, like it says there in verse 1, to be mindful of that. But even in the Bible college, even in the church, even living, you know, daily, hourly in a Christian bubble, I think there's still that temptation. So I don't want, you know, the Bible calls to check out. I don't want, you know, consistent church serving members to check out here. Because even there, you're going to find Christians who walk in compromise, you know. There's some Christians that often will just ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their lives. That is clearly telling them to do something, but they're going to willfully sin against their conscience. And even in a church, you know, the temptation comes, well, I know so-and-so. I see them all the time in church, and I know they do this, and I know the other person does that. So it's okay if I do that too, even though the Word of God clearly says something different. And the temptation is like, oh, it's okay then if I do it. You know, what's the big deal? Half the church is doing it. I can do it too, right? And well, no. Even then, we have to, verse 1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So quickly, I'd like to define what grace is, because I think oftentimes we might mix up grace and mercy, because those words get interchanged a lot. And so two quick, easy definitions is grace is when you receive something that you do not deserve. And mercy is when you don't receive something that you do deserve. An illustration of this would be students here at the Bible College breaking the rules. like always, like Alex, constantly in sin, all the time, you know. And he kind of, so then I have to, being like, you know, the disciplinary dean of the school, I have to come up to him and I have to tell him what his punishment is and what his rebuke is, you know. And he'll be, oh, no, Mike, just please, please, just show some grace. Give me grace. Just give me some grace, man. Please, I won't do it again, I promise. Well, he has his terminology mixed up, because what he should be saying is, give me mercy, you know, because he broke the rules. So he would rightly deserve whatever punishment would follow that. So if he wasn't going to receive that rightly due punishment, he would say, Mike, give me mercy. And I would say, well, you know, Alex, you've already received all the grace not to break the rules. God has given you the ability not to do it, so you're going to get punished anyway. Yeah, sorry, man. I want to let you know you're grounded now. I talked to your parents. They agree. And no, Alex is a great student, but that's just an example. No, they should be asking for mercy, not grace. Another example is a pretty good one, pretty easier for us to understand, I think. Because of our sin, you know, being fallen, we deserve hell. That's just the consequence of sin. It separates us from God. But God, in his mercy, says, I'm not going to give you that if you've accepted Christ. Even though that's what you deserve because of sin, if you've accepted Christ, I'm going to show mercy on you. And in the same manner, because of sin, we don't deserve just to go into heaven. We've transgressed the Lord. We've broken that communion because of sin. But those who are in Jesus Christ receive grace. I'm going to give it to you anyway. It's going to be a gift. You know, salvation is by grace. He's like, it's not by works. I'm going to give it to you. And so grace is receiving. And mercy is not receiving, in a sense. So you could balance those two. So with that in mind, looking at 2 Timothy, he says, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And so, you know, I've been talking about, you know, taking a stand against sin and taking a stand for righteousness. Well, it's a great thing that Paul says is to be strong in what Jesus will give you then, because he's talking about grace. You know, because there's a lot of times where we think, well, it's too hard for me. Well, it's good. If you remember the last sermon I talked about, it should be too hard for you. God doesn't expect you to do it with the power of Brianna, you know, the power of Brenda. He wants you to do it in the grace that's available in Jesus Christ. I think if you are taking notes and if you want to take notes, you can cross-reference verse 1 to Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He doesn't imply to use our own strength. You know, we have a resource, the Holy Spirit, that God is willing to give us to strengthen us. And it's really important to live the Christian life with this Spirit. So I want to take a moment to talk about the Holy Spirit in a sense. As a Christian, God's put his Spirit inside of us, right? In Scripture, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Helper. You can read that in John 16, verse 7. I'm going to send you the helper. He's a helper. So I want you to get this here. There's a difference between the Holy Spirit living inside of you. I talked to Michaela about this actually a couple weeks ago. And there's a difference between the Holy Spirit living inside of you and the Holy Spirit coming upon you and helping you and enabling you and giving you ability, giving you power. There's two different, even if you look at the Greek language, I'm not going to get into it, because I don't want to make it too complicated, but there's a difference of him living inside of you. There's a difference between the Holy Spirit living around you and the Holy Spirit coming upon you as a helper. So accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's always inside. Praise the Lord for that. I love that. He's always living inside of you if you've accepted him. But that doesn't mean he's always living dynamically upon you. There's a difference. So if you've accepted Christ, you have the Spirit living inside you. That's awesome. But you can also jot down Acts 1:8, where Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And note that he said that after he had already given them the Holy Spirit. Because if you look at John 20:22, Jesus had breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And you look at the Greek words, the Spirit went inside them. So after the fact, Jesus goes, oh yeah, and there's going to be this thing that the Spirit does, he gives you power. But they've already received it. The Spirit's living inside. But he had a greater, you know, plans of what the Holy Spirit was going to do in their life. He was going to strengthen them. And God wanted them to wait for that strength and to walk and to live in the strength that was going to be available to them through the Spirit. So the thing I really want you to notice is we do not receive power just simply by receiving the Spirit into our lives by getting saved. That doesn't automatically just empower us to be Christians. Praise the Lord that we're saved, but that doesn't automatically empower us. We've received salvation. We get to go to heaven. Awesome. But there's a difference between receiving the Spirit for salvation and then receiving the Spirit constantly, daily, moment by moment for a Spirit-filled life. Those are two different things. And God just doesn't want us to get saved and then all of a sudden just not be any different. It's like, okay, cool, you're saved. Now just enjoy doing whatever you want to do. You know, God has a plan for us. He wants us to live a strong, powerful life, walking the Spirit, representing Him well, encouraging others, you know, being, you know, witnessing to the lost, you know. And so He wants us to be His witnesses. And that means living like He did, being an example to the world. It means not following the crowd if they're just going to go off and sin. You know, it means standing up and not even just giving in to your own sinful desires, because sometimes the battle isn't even just in following the crowd. Sometimes we just really want to give in to sin. You know, we have our own lusts. We have our own desires that pull us away. So sometimes it's the whole crowd's doing the right thing, but you're the one going, man, but I just don't. I really want to give in. And you have to fight your own flesh. That's living in the Spirit. It's fighting against that. So God does want us to accept Him. He does want us to receive the Holy Spirit for salvation. I have a really dry mouth. Hold on. I'm sorry. But He wants us to be strong and live for Him. Because if you read the rest of Acts 1:8, I only read the first part. If you read the rest of Acts 1:8, it's interesting. He says, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So after it's already been inside them. And He goes, and you shall be my witnesses. So there was a specific purpose of why God was going to give it to them. He wanted them to be His witnesses, not just to be saved. He's like, I want you to have the Spirit to be my witnesses. There's a plan, there's a purpose for you to do this. And so the question I have this morning for you is an honest question. It's not a judgmental question. Is, are you happy just being saved? Because I hope the answer is no. I hope you're not happy just being saved. Because you could be sitting here and you could be being saved and you could go to heaven and that's great. And I'm so happy that you'll be my brother and sister in the Lord and I'll see you in heaven. But I hope there's not a complacency where that's okay and that's good enough. When the Bible says God has so much more for you. Jesus said that He came to give life, but He also came to give life more abundantly. He came to give a more abundant life for us. And so, what is a more abundant life? You know, that's a life that is surrendered to the Lordship of Christ and is sold out for living for Jesus. And that it is living life that is intended that you are supposed to live as a Christian. So I want you to turn with me over to 2 Corinthians so we can maybe look at this abundant life, the purpose. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The abundant life, the reason of salvation. We can, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you look at verse 14, it says, the love of Christ controls us. It controls us. So having concluded this, that one died for all, talking about, you know, Jesus, he had died for all. Therefore, all had died. That he died for all. So, here's the reason. So that they who live, being us, might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. So it's saying that Jesus died and rose again on our behalf. That we too would reckon ourselves dead. So you know what? I'm going to be dead to living for myself, and I'm going to choose to live for him who paid that penalty for me. So Jesus came and he died for me. So if Jesus died for me, he wants us to live for him. He wants me to live for him. He wants you to live for him. He wants all of us to die to ourselves and to live for him. And that's him giving us life, and that's giving us life more abundantly. It's a life that is living, sold out for the Lord. And so, you know, living for Jesus in a world that's only living for themselves is really hard. And so being strong is really important. You know, but that's why God said, I'm going to give you a helper. You know, that's why Paul in 2 Timothy when he said to be strong, he said, I want you to be strong in grace. I don't want you to be strong in and of yourself. And so, not following the crowd, not turning away from the truth, as this encouragement is to Timothy. You know, if we're to do that, if we're going to, put ourselves in the scripture here, and instead of saying, you therefore, my son Timothy, saying, you therefore, the church of Santa Ponsa Community Church, to be strong, we need to do that in the ability of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I'm trying to paint this picture of grace. He says, do it in the light of grace, in receiving this, and doing it in the power of the Spirit. And so I want to ask you guys, well, how do we get this help then? We briefly touched on it last week, but now that hopefully we have, the picture in our minds that there's a difference between just receiving the Holy Spirit and then living in a power of the Holy Spirit. Well, how do we do this? What's this help all about? Well, Paul told us where the grace was found. So if we want to receive this grace, he said that, the grace that is in where? Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And we're not going to get the help from any other place. And that needs to be a permanent, policy and an understanding that we have in our mind. We have to be willing to go to Jesus for it. And so I guess then the question again, then we'd be like, okay, well, how does he give it to us? I want to make it somewhat practical. Well, let's read what else Paul writes here in 2 Timothy. He says, these things which you have heard from me, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. He says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ. And he gives some examples now on being strong in that grace and how to do it. He says, now, no soldier in an active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Another example he gives is verse 5. And if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he completes according to the rules. And then in verse 6, he says, the hardworking farmer, well, he ought to be first to receive his share of the crops. And so he gives three different examples. And really, each one of these examples is like a sermon in and of itself. And we could have like a series and we can just go on and on and on. But really, I think the main point here is, the focus is on maybe verse 4 and on the soldier. He's invested into his duties. The athlete is invested into his training. And the farmer is invested into being a hardworking. He's laboring in his crops. They have an investment in what they're doing. They are invested into what they're doing. And so I think Paul's point is, as a Christian, I want you to be invested into Jesus. And each one of these illustrations has another side of the coin of how you can be best invested into the Lord. And maybe you could, do another study on your own time. And when we have more time, you can get into that. That's great. But the key here is the investment. And are you invested into Jesus Christ? Are you spending time with our Lord Jesus Christ? Luke 11, you can write that down. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. When you ask, it's going to be given to you. When you knock, it's going to be opened, or I missed one there. If you seek, you will find. And it's the beautiful thing about that is in the Greek, he says to continually be doing it. You can't really tell in English, but that the Greek word implies that it's a continuous thing. He goes, I want you to continuously be asking me. I want you to continuously be seeking me. I want you to continuously be knocking on the door. And he goes, when you be doing this, you're going to find me. You're going to get answered. The door's going to be opened for you. And then right after that, still there in that same passage, he says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So a lot of it is just continually, and having this constant dependence on him and saying, hey, God, I need your help to do it. And recognizing that if I'm going to come up here, I can't come up here and do this on my own strength. I say, hey, Lord, this message I'm teaching, I really hope you come through, because I'm teaching on asking for the Holy Spirit's help. So if I'm telling them to ask for the Holy Spirit and I'm not asking for the Holy Spirit, I'm a hypocrite. So I have to, try to live this out before I even come up here, is to be continually asking the Lord for his help. And so the thing is, God isn't asking for ability. I think that's sometimes something that thwarts us. And when we think about it, we get discouraged because we think we're not strong enough, we're not smart enough. I have a bad memory. I can't even remember the Bible. You know, Mike, every time I try to read, I don't even know what's going on, so why even read it? You know, every time I pray, I get distracted, so why pray? You know, the Lord's just not speaking to me. I can never remember what the Bible's even saying. I don't have the ability to do this stuff. He's not asking for ability. He's asking for effort, and he's asking just for faithfulness. You know, there's something that's really true about God's word, that it does feed you, it does strengthen you. And, you know, you may be reading it consistently, and you may not remember what's going on, but I promise you it's doing the work inside you that you need. You know, I can't tell you what I had for dinner last night, or let alone like last Monday, or what I had for dinner a month ago, and what I had for breakfast. Can you? But you know, whatever meal I ate, it nourished my body and it gave me what I needed to get through to today. It literally physically fed me and nourished me and it blessed me, and I had all the strength I needed to continue on. Even though I can't remember what it was, but it did. It served its purpose, and God's word continues to serve its purpose. And he's not asking for the ability. He's just asking for effort. He's asking for faithfulness. He wants us to be invested into him. And so the question is, are you invested in him? You know, I want us to be strong. And it just means asking God for his strength and continually being doing that. But the thing is, God isn't going to treat us like robots either. You know, I think that's a common misconception, that we ask once and then we get it. And then we're just all of a sudden, we always have the Holy Spirit and we're just a Holy Spirit filled robot. And everything we do now is just always done in the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's not how it works. We have to make God the number one priority in our life. And we get to ask for the Spirit continually. And like I don't say this to be mean. I don't even have anybody in mind. I'm not being judgmental. But I'm sure there's some of us in here that could honestly say that I'm just not invested in the Lord like I should be. You know, I could probably even say that about myself. Hopefully not, you know. But I'm sure there's moments and times in my life when that's very true about myself. You know, and maybe we're just lightly invested into the Lord. And kind of like verse 4, you know, of being, we're in active service because we're saved, but we're more invested and we're more entangled in the affairs of this life than we are entangled in God's word and in prayer. You know, God loves you so much, and he's gone through such great lengths to show that to us. He's gone to such great lengths to show us how invested he is in us and how much he loves us. And he's just saying, man, I want you to bring that back. And I want you to just to return that love right back to me. And even don't worry if you don't think you can do it, if you're not good enough, or you can't be. Man, God uses donkeys, man. I'm so encouraged that God used an actual donkey, opened his mouth, and a donkey spoke to a prophet, Balaam. Man, if God can make a donkey speak, and how much more? We're sons. We're daughters of the Lord. We're not just donkeys. And he just wants us to have that relationship with him. And so I hope that there's a sincere prayer. That, you know, my favorite thing is there's a book called Absolute Surrender by Andrew Murray. And in this book, Andrew Murray is talking about surrendering everything over to the Lord, right? Everything, your mind, your heart, just... Well, the title of the book is called Absolute Surrender. So it kind of maybe gets monotonous after a while. You're like, I already read about surrender. I'm reading about surrender some more. But it is a good book. But one thing that I was reading through it, it really blessed me because, like, you know, Lord, sometimes I can't surrender to you. I don't know how. I'm trying, but it's just not working. And one thing that he says, you even have to surrender your ability to surrender to him. You have to trust in that God will enable you to surrender these things. Or, you know, because having to surrender it on your own is like seems nearly impossible also. So will you pray and say, God, you know, I need you to help me do this. Like, make me want this. You know, because we sing the song, I give you everything that I am. Oh, I get. Well, is that true? Do we give him everything that we are? And I don't say that with condemnation. That's just, what about our prayer? Like, Lord, you know what? make my heart have a genuine cry to want to give you everything that I am. And just say, Lord, don't be ashamed if that's not. Just say, but Lord, you know, I need you to do that kind of work in me. I need that grace. I need to receive it from you. And I need that desire for you more. And I hope that is our sincere prayer would be that today, to continually seek him, continually asking him for help. A last point. And we have communion today as well. A last point. The Spirit first fell upon the apostles there in Acts chapter 2, right? Jesus said, you know, I want you to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. He's going to come upon you. And so they waited. They were investing their time unto the Lord. And the Holy Spirit fell upon them. But as you continue to read through the book of Acts, the very same guys that the Holy Spirit fell on there in Acts chapter 2, well, it says that the Holy Spirit fell on them again, and then they did such and such a thing. And then the Holy Spirit fell on them again, and they did such and such a thing. And the Holy Spirit fell on them again, and they did such and such a thing. And so it wasn't just like, even in Scripture, it's not like all of a sudden the Holy Spirit falls on you, and then you're the perfect saint. You know, a lot of people will even say that the Apostle Paul is a man who made a mistake in not wanting to bring John Mark with him. You know, John Mark, he's a cop out, he's a chicken, he doesn't want to do this. I'm not taking him. You know, I'm cruising out without John Mark. And then later on, the Apostle Paul says, hey, you know what? Will you bring John Mark? Because he's useful to me. I know I kind of, you know, ditched him before, but I want the help of John Mark now. And so this is a man that was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so even our apostles need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit time and time and time and time again. You know, it's not always, life isn't done always perfectly right. And so the idea here is to every day be seeking and asking for that help. You know, another good study that you might want to do in your own time is, which you might want to be careful, actually, about where you get this study from, but is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. You might want to be careful, but, you know, don't just take one person aside from it. You can chew on the meat and spit out the bones, you know, because there's going to be variances in doctrinal beliefs in that. But that's kind of basically the summary of this. If you're going to be strong, you're going to need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You're going to need the Holy Spirit's help. And so that's every day seeking God and asking for his ability to live for him and to be strong and to be the good soldier of Christ, to be the good athlete, to be the good farmer that's hardworking for him. It's not just going to come automatically because you're saved. Some of us are saved and we go to work and we lead our family and we hang out with our friends and we do our daily life, but we're not doing it with all the power that we could be doing it in. And so I just pray that we would have a realization of that. Maybe we are. Maybe on a daily moment by moment, you're like, hey, Mike, I've heard that message before, and I seek the Lord every morning for that strength, and I seek him every afternoon. I'm constantly aware that I need the Spirit's help. Praise the Lord. You know, you are really getting a firm grasp on the abundant life that God wants you to have. But some of us, I hope we would grasp it better. Like, I hope that I would grasp that, but I think that for the, you know, there's a good chunk of my brain that realizes that, but there's a good chunk of my brain that don't. I'm just being honest. And I do really wish even that's a prayer for myself. And so I wanted to encourage you guys with that. We talked a lot, you know, last time about being strong and in the Lord's strength and not ours, but man, that's daily. It's not just like, it's not just a time through your burdens. It's not just a time when things are hard and you're feeling the weight of the world. And like the scripture said in Corinthians, we were burdened beyond our own strength and we need his strength to see us through our troubles. Well, we also need his strength to live righteously. We also need his strength to stand up against sin, not just to get through a trial, to be his witnesses. And so I'm going to pray and close this out. The worship team's going to come up here and we have